Facebook, I will be with you shortly. I'm getting streamed up for YouTube simulcast. While we're doing our devotional for Facebook, we're going to also be going on YouTube this morning. So we will be with you just very shortly. Good morning, everyone. Today is 31st of January, 2019. It's Thursday morning here, and it's very cold this morning, but it is supposed to warm up today. So we're looking forward to a warm up. It's out 10 minutes till 7, and we're reading for the Daily Light. If you will not divide out the inhabitants of the land from before you, those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Fight the good fight of faith. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 1 Timothy 6:12, 2 Corinthians 10:9. Brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Romans 8:12-13. Flesh after the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity, the law of sin which is in my members. We are more than conquerors through him that loves. Galatians 5:17, Romans 7:23, and Romans 8:37. Well, we are in a spiritual battle against the flesh, spirit warth against the flesh. A lot of people deny that. A lot of people have to, once they get saved, it ceases, but doesn't. In fact, it increases. There's really no spiritual life at all until we get eternal life through the Spirit, until we're born again. That's when the warfare really, really begins. Because Satan doesn't like it, because we are been blood-bought, and Satan hates the blood of Jesus Christ, and all of those who are enemies of the cross hate blood of Christ. But for those of us who have been born again, we have been purchased by the blood of Christ. Good morning, Peter Caramont, Deborah Diamond, Richard Whiteyaw, Rance Bennett, Ben Tamale. Good morning to all of you. Others I cannot see on the dashboard this morning. Welcome one and all. And also, welcome all of those who will join us on Facebook, on YouTube shortly as well. S.A. Ben Tamale, good morning. Uganda. There's a great comfort in knowing that we have been blood-bought, purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's also a great comfort to me personally that we have been predestinated unto adoption. We've been predestinated unto adoption. When our family casts us off, okay, we can still rest in the assurance that we have been adopted into the family of God, predestinated unto adoption. We were even born. Ephesians, first chapter, I want to just remind us from some passages in the first chapter of Ephesians this morning. Blessed, I'm reading, starting with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness might gather him on all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Well, that's wonderful, beautiful music to the ears of God's people. That's wonderful music to God's people. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Even when we were dead. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, those are wonderful, wonderful passages of Scripture to show us that our salvation, our being born again, are being purchased by the blood of the Lamb, was all God and had nothing to do with the will of man. Looking back in history, we see events unfold, and the greatest story in history is the greatest story ever told. It is not just a novel. No, this story is true. How God sent his Son to die to redeem his chosen few. Praise and thanksgiving we give to the Son, who in the course of heaven with the three in one, make provision for this sinner. Through his blood the work is done. The plan was determined between the Trinity, and this great story in history would be a certainty. God would redeem his people, a ransom he would pay. Christ would be slain on Calvary in history on that day. Welcome aboard, Great Simple Mission. You see, Scripture tells us he was slain in eternity before the world began. It was predetermined. Yes, it was his master plan. Well, when we look at our lives from the standpoint of eternity past, this is a different perspective, doesn't it? When we look at life from the reality of what God's intentions were, what his decree was, what he decreed, what he accomplished, and the fact that Christ was slain from the foundation of the world, it gives us a different understanding of the absolute sovereign work of God in redemption. Many people refuse to accept that regarding the great decree of God's salvation to all of his elect. We are told that all that come will come to him. John 6:37. And all that come to him, all that come to me, I will no wise cast out, he says. John 6:29, He says they came to Jesus and said, what must we do that we must to do the works of God? And he said, this is the work of God. This is the work of God that you believe on him. So when we look at the works of God opposed to our works, how can we compare the work of man with the works of God? We fail and fall at every turn. Jesus Christ has never faltered or failed. Jesus Christ, we're perfect. That's why we have been given the faith of Christ. If it was left up to our faith, we would have no hope. We would have no faith, because our faith will lead us to despair. I want to read a few things out of this Poems for Edification this morning. I hope you'll find it edifying to you. The gift of salvation. The gift of salvation. Bible is not just another book. It is God-breathed, the living Word of God. In it can be found the words of eternal life. Whether you believe it or not is a question at hand. The Bible says we are born and conceived in small men by Adam. And all who are made alive in Christ. The Bible does not say belief or repentance saves you, but it does say that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And it does say that all the forgiven come, and all that come in, he will in no wise cast out. The Bible says the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Christ also says you must be born again. So the Bible says the first thing that must happen to a sinner is that he must be born again. And then he receives the faith of Christ to believe that Christ died for sins, and then he will readily confess that he's a sinner in need of Jesus as his Savior. He will then trust in the completed work of Jesus Christ for him on Calvary. That's the perfect sacrifice for his sins. When this happens, the sinner becomes a new creature in Christ. He's no longer under condemnation and has received forgiveness on the merits of God's gift to him. And he now realizes that he was foreknown, predestined, called, justified, and glorified. That's the gospel in a nutshell, folks. And we never get tired of hearing it. We never get tired of hearing it. The last one this morning I'm going to read is called Wonderful Grace. What awesome, wonderful, magnificent grace God has bestowed upon us, who were dead in our trespasses and sin, to choose us before the creation of the world, before our life would even begin. Be adopted into his family from the beginning and to the very end. How can our tongues describe this marvelous thing he did for you and me, to send his son to die and redeem us for eternity? Shed on the one tree and pay the greatest ransom for souls free. Amazing grace, amazing love, guilty, who deserved to die an eternal death and experience awful suffering in hell. But God gave his only son, and now we sing thanks to Calvary, and with our soul all things are well. A million years from now we will still be praising him for delivering us from death and the bondage of sin. All glory to the Lamb who bled and died for you and me. Our praises will ring out for all eternity. Oh, may the glory be with the morning and encouraged in realizing that we have been given the faith of Christ. God bless. Thank you.